Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
That's what it sounds like on a Sunday morning when the pastor is distributing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. We receive it with our amens. And what you might often hear while those words are being spoken by the pastor, while he distributes the body and blood of Christ, are also the songs of the Christian congregation. Now, some people, I've had people say, you know, isn't this a time for us to sit and think or sit and pray? Should we distract ourselves with hymns? Well, the fact of the matter is, this is a celebration. It's a celebration of a feast. And it's a celebration where the host is really present. Christ is really there. Would you be singing hymns in the presence of Christ? I think you would be. So it's appropriate that during the distribution of the Lord's Supper, we have these beautiful hymns, many of them some of the most Christ-centered hymns, many of them some of the most profound theology that the church ever sings, being sung by Christian congregations. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Part 21 of our series on the historic liturgy. Today, the communion distribution and the hymns that attend it. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. That's the first hour of the program. In the second hour of the program on this Thursday afternoon, we're going to talk about a recent Time magazine cover story on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and abortion and the gospel. Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky will be our guest. And then we'll talk about prayer. Pastor David Kind will be with us. He's author of an article in a forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Beautiful Thing. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest, and he's Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Always a joy to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about the distribution and the fact that we're singing together, that we as Christians, we don't normally sing when other people are eating. And so we got to answer that question first. Why, when some are receiving, because we can't generally all receive together the body and blood of Christ, why are some of us doing something else, singing?
Well, you nailed it when you mentioned the nature of the feast. We gather together, some of the people are receiving at one moment, and some of the people, even as they're receiving, are singing. Have you ever seen that? I mean, I know that...
They have better memories than I do.
Well, there, you know, something else that my wife and I frequently will stand in line with our hymn books open, singing our way up to the altar, and we stop long enough to receive the body and blood of Christ and to pray, but we like to continue to sing the great songs of adoration of the one who is truly present there in his body and blood. By the singing at this point, we join in a very public confession of the doctrine of the real presence. We are saying, you, Jesus, are truly here among us, giving to us your body and your blood. And so it's to you we sing our praises, our thanks, our adorations.
Let's talk a bit about the distribution, and then we're going to talk about some of those hymns that you've actually chosen a few for us to think about and to kind of draw us deeper into the theology of the Lord's Supper itself. We've often talked in our series here about what we do and what we say and what those actions confess.
True.
Talk about the manner of reception of the Lord's Supper that varies from Christian confession to confession, but talk about it in kind of its historic sense. What are we confessing and what actions are often chosen by the church during the distribution of the Lord's Supper to make a right confession?
Well, you'll notice that in many of our Lutheran churches, the custom still obtains of people kneeling down to receive the supper. They kneel before Christ. It's kind of amusing. The Anglicans and their famous black rubric on the in the prayer book want to make sure that, you know, hey, no adoration of Christ is intended by such an action. Well, Lutherans would say, well, yeah, it is. We're adoring the Christ who is truly present here under the bread and wine with his true body and blood. And we adore him by kneeling before him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, as Philippians 2 has it. So that's the first action. You'll also notice that many Lutheran Christian will make the sign of the cross prior to receiving or just after receiving the Lord's body and again after receiving the Lord's blood. That's a beautiful confession of, dear Jesus, you know, this is what made me your own. Now I am marked with your cross. I belong to you. I belong to the crucified. And you've won all of that for me by this gift of your body and your blood. Sometimes you'll notice the older Lutheran practice was that the people, as they received the Lord's body, would have their mouth open. They would just open their mouth. And we think of the words of Psalm 81, where God says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Mm-hmm. We think literally how true that is in the Holy Eucharist. Others will follow the words of Chrysostom, where he says, you make your hand a throne for God as you receive him in the Holy Eucharist. The order of distribution is perhaps something we should touch on. Our book, our altar book for Lutheran service book, is very explicit on a number of points here. Number one, it says that the presiding minister at the altar should receive the gifts first. He should receive the body and blood of Christ. He communicates himself, and then he communicates the people, or his assistants, and then they communicate the people. And similarly, when the gifts are being given out, it is appropriate that the pastor of that place is the one who administers the Lord's body, because this is the decisive act of admission to the table. And so the person who is the steward of the mysteries in that place, he is the one who goes first administering. And I know in many places, pastors do not do this simply because they're trying to be nice to their elders. Administering the chalice can be a lot more difficult. It is. It's a lot more, you have to take a lot more care than just administering the host. Nevertheless, I believe it is really important for us to recover the practice of the pastor himself, who has celebrated that supper. He should go first, giving out the Lord's body.
That might need a little explanation, because I mean, what you're drawing on there is the extremely ancient, to the time of the apostles themselves, a practice of closed communion, and he admits, which also I think rightly implies that. He is also the one who bears responsibility not to admit some who would come to the Lord's Supper.
Correct. You know, if there's somebody that is at the table whom you cannot commune, maybe there's somebody in your congregation that you know is living in manifest and impenitent sin, and you cannot give to them the sacrament. Well, if the elder who may not know that has gone ahead, then that's an awkward position for you to be in. It's much better, as you're administering the very apostolic practice of the closed table, to come forward with the pastor himself admitting one by one. He's the one who has to give answer to Christ for the administration of that sacrament to the people.
Okay, so to kind of put a bow on that, the pastor communicates himself, and this is all deeply embedded in the historic practice of the church as well as its theology.
Yeah. And let me just add one more thing that people sometimes wonder where that comes from. We might want to stress that Luther himself in the Formula Missa is very clear that that's the order in which it happens, that he says that in that order, the priest communicates himself. So it's very clear there.
So anyone who might, for some reason, be distributing the chalice or the cup after the body of Christ is going to be taking his cue. Anyone who might not be a pastor or a pastor of that congregation will take his cue from the pastor's admission.
Sure. For example, if you see that somebody is omitted, maybe just a prayer is said over them or a blessing, that clearly is a sign, don't offer them the Lord's blood. The chalice just skips over them.
Okay. So since we're in the distribution mode, there are often words that are spoken there. And they're kind of, we heard them at the beginning of the
Yeah, they're very important.
They're very important words. They are paraphrases, or are they Christ's own words? I mean, are we saying the words of institution again when the pastor is saying, take and eat, this is... Well, he doesn't say this is my body.
We're picking up the keywords from the institution and reciting them again. They can be said in our rite as we now have it. There are two different ways to do it. The pastor can simply say, you know, the true body of Christ given for you, the true blood of Christ shed for you, or he can use the fuller form which is what we heard there. You know, this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in body and in soul. That's the blessing at the end.
Take and eat.
Yeah, take eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not an exact paraphrase. I mean, it is a paraphrase. It's not an exact word. Copying out the words of institution. And in Lutheran history, the history of Lutheran liturgy, these words became incredibly important because they are words which a person who is on the Reform side of the equation, or the Calvinist side, cannot and will not say about that bread and that cup. I mean, I said, this is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. That's something that's not, that they would have great difficulty saying.
So they're important, just to put a fine point out, they're important because it is clear to everyone what this meal is and who is present here.
Confessing without any doubt exactly what it is that Jesus is distributing under the consecrated bread and wine. That bread is his body and that wine is his blood, his true body, his true blood.
When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to an example of a communion distribution hymn. Oh, Lord, we praise thee. Briefly, what can you tell us with just a second or two before we take our break about this hymn that we should be listening for?
Well, this hymn is one of the oldest ones. It is Luther actually took a stanza that was pre-existing, and he crafted it into a full-blast hymn. We'll talk about it on the side. It's a great, great text. It's kind of unusual in its rhythm. Enjoy it.
All right, we'll hear that when we come back, and we'll talk about a couple other of the communion distribution hymns. Now, if you got a question or a comment, it's part 21 of our series on the historic liturgy, and we're talking about the distribution of the Lord's Supper and the hymns that often attend it. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. The theology here, the profundity of the action, of what is actually happening and what we are participating in, what we are communing in, is beyond words, and yet the church uses many words to confess it. That's why they just can't close their mouths. They have to sing these words while the Lord's body and blood are being administered. We'll be right back.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January.
O Lord, we praise Thee, bless Thee and adore Thee, in thanksgiving bow before Thee. Thou with Thy body and Thy blood didst nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. O Lord, have mercy, may Thy body
Communion distribution hymn, O Lord, we praise Thee. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, part 21 of our series on the historic liturgy today, the communion distribution and the hymns that attend it. So that one, we're kind of going in historic order. Mm-hmm. O Lord, we praise Thee. What about that hymn makes it especially appropriate to be sung while we receive Christ's body and blood?
Well, notice that this hymn originally, and as we have it, it begins with this address to Christ. It's an actually stronger address in the German, Gott sei gelobet, you know, God be praised and blessed and adored. And this God whom we're praising, blessing, and adoring, we confess to be the one who with his body and his blood nourishes our poor, weak souls and does it so that they may flourish. I said this first stanza was in existence long before Luther. We have evidence from it from the latter half of the 14th century. It was there, and it fit inside of Thomas Aquinas' Laudation Salvatorum, the same way that Christ is Arisen fits inside of Victime Paschali. It was a way to sing in the German language something for the people. You know, that interrupted, if you will, the choir singing the Latin parts. So that's what this was. And it only was that one stanza. And that's just a huge stanza. At the end of it, there originally was a line about, grant that I may receive this to my last breath, the sacrament from the hand of a consecrated priest. Luther said, ugh, some devotee of St. Barbara threw that thing in. Anyway, he wiped that out and wrote the better line. It's really funny because after Luther's time, the Roman Catholic hymnals that would actually cite it in Luther's version and with his adaptation of the musical setting, too. It was just a fabulous a job he did on it. But he wasn't content with confessing the real presence. It's not content to confess that the body born of Mary is there and that his blood is there. He wants more. And so notice the second stanza. I remember a Dr. Fremder at the seminary saying that he thought that the second stanza was actually the most significant stanza of this piece.
What did he mean by that?
Well, listen to this. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. You hear in the hymn a confession here of the doctrine of atonement. You can't get away from atonement when you're talking about the sacrifice of our Lord's body and blood, which he offered on the cross and now in the Eucharist, reaches to us to seal that redemption to us so that we remember and give thanks for this boundless love and benefit, as Luther says in his preface for the Lord's Supper. So this second stanza was really key to expressing that this body and blood have been offered to God by Christ in payment of a debt that we owed, which we could not pay, could not begin to pay, but which he himself paid on our behalf so that it's credited to us as our very own. So not just the body and blood of Jesus being there, but the body and blood that are for you, that were for the forgiveness and wiping out of your sin, that's there for you. And that's what makes this hymn be so great.
That kind of raises a question because and it's been my practice probably almost my entire pastoral life, I take a little liberty with the words that we were talking about before when distributing the body and blood of Jesus. Not because the words as they appear in the hymnal don't suffice, but I think it was just trying to take an opportunity to emphasize that for you. Mm-hmm. Of this, and if I say them every Sunday, I hope I can recall them. I will say something along the lines of, "Take and eat the body of Jesus, given for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins." Mm-hmm. Because I want the connection to the atonement, to the cross,
to be quite clear,
and mm-hmm. that this is what I'm holding in my hand and putting in your mouth.
Is what was on the cross.
Was on the cross
right.
for you.
Right, right, right.
No, it really was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's really a very key confession for our people to get, the for you-ness of the sacrament. How do you know your sins are forgiven? How do you know? Because this body that I'm now receiving, which Jesus is giving to me right now, was on Calvary's tree for me. And this blood, which is now pouring down my throat, this blood is what has blotted out the sins of the entire world, and so mine too. It causes the people of God to sing. But the sacrament also, and this is an important piece of this particular hymn, the sacrament has its fruition out in our lives. So notice how stanza 3 impels us on out. May God bestow on us his grace, his favor, that we follow Christ our Savior. And those are the new words. I'm still not used to those yet.
Because it used to be to please him with
our behavior. And there's nothing wrong with that. and live together here in love and union, nor despise this blessed communion. I think it used to be nor repent, didn't it? Nor repent this blessed communion. O Lord have mercy, let not thy good spirit forsake us. Grant that heavenly minded he make us. Give thy church, Lord, to see days of peace and unity. O Lord of mercy. So the prayer that God would bestow upon us the gift of his spirit through the sacrament. That was just in the large catechism reading for today in the Treasury of Daily Prayer. In giving us the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament, Jesus also gives us the Holy Spirit with all his gifts. They come where forgiveness, there the Spirit. They run together. Give us your spirit and grant that he make us heavenly minded, to lift our minds and thoughts. I think it almost takes you back to the preface, doesn't it? Up with your hearts, you know, we have them in the Lord. That our minds be occupied with the good gifts of God in Jesus that are our eternal life. That is heaven. That we focus on that, and that gives us courage then to live our lives. grant thy church, Lord, to see the days of peace and unity, a prayer that somehow, I mean, this sacrament, it's very sad, isn't it? The sacrament that should be the unity of all Christians has become the table of division. I mean, we can't all say amen to what Jesus says he's giving there. And so we have table set against table. It's very sad. But we pray that somehow the miracle, by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, this would be overcome and that the Lord's Supper would reach its fruition in our lives.
Will it? I mean, with only 30 seconds here?
We know that on the last day, there will be only one table around which the people of God are gathered. It will be manifest. And we, as Lutherans, firmly believe on that day, everybody will be making the confession of the Lutheran faith.
And rightly so. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're talking about the historic liturgy today, the communion and its distribution and the hymns that go along with it. And when we come back, we'll hear another distribution hymn, Soul, Adorn Yourself with Gladness, I believe, when we come out. And we'll discuss that one. Also, before we finish our conversation today, we've got to talk about two other elements of the distribution. The recipients, amen, and the pastor's dismissal. We'll get to that in the last segment. Stay tuned.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues, etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues, etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
For decades, I and other pro-life leaders have been saying abortion kills babies and sometimes kills women. Pro-abortion activists want you to think legal abortion is all roses and cream. They said legal abortion would keep women safe. Well, legal abortion killed 18-year-old Marla Cardamone. She had a legal late-term abortion in a Pennsylvania hospital. Her mom, Deborah, approached a pro-life organization with a desire for the public to see what the abortion industry did to her child and grandchild. She offered the group autopsy images of her daughter. Graphic pictures must be used with caution, but for as long as I live, I'll never forget these. If you want to see the deadly reality of what abortion does to babies and their mothers, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Yeah.
Several stanzas of the communion hymn, the Lord's Supper hymn, Soul, Adorn Yourself with Gladness. We're talking with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about those distribution hymns, part 21 of our series on the historic liturgy. All right, that one, I know you said you could listen to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's each stanza just gives more and more. What's in there that is so right for the distribution of the Lord's Supper?
Well, you know, I mentioned to you during the break that the Luther hymn had actually been, was part of like, almost became part of like Lutheran liturgy, prescribed in a number of church orders. In fact, the second most prescribed hymn, if you will, in the church orders after the creedal paraphrase, We All Believe in One True God. And you notice it has a real objective kind of content to it. It's full of praise and thanksgiving, but it's very objective sounding. This hymn is at the very beginning of the flowering of Lutheran pietism, and it has all the warmth of that. Johann Franck, now here, you know, this hymn is written by a man who was a lawyer and a politician, which is hard to believe. We don't think of them as being great poets, do we? But this man was a truly great poet, and this hymn, it is so powerfully tender. Notice that unlike O Lord, We Praise, which began by addressing Christ, this one begins, curiously, with an address to the soul. Well, where does such a thing come from? From paying attention to how the Psalms are prayed, you know. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So there's this talking to your inner self that characterizes the Psalter. And so this does too. Notice what it says, though, when it talks to yourself. It says, you know, soul, my inner self here, adorn yourself, just doesn't it? Shmukadik, you know, deck yourself out with your glad rags, with gladness, you know. Get out of the gloomy haunts of sadness. There's no reason for sadness here. You got to come into the daylight splendor here at the sacrament of the altar, and there render your praises. Bless this one whose grace unbounded bounded this banquet for you. And even though he's heavenly, high, and holy, look at this soul, he wants to dwell with you most lowly. He comes to be with you, soul. Rejoice, be happy. I mean, this overflowing joy at the presence of the one who comes to be with you, it comes to characterize the nature of Lutheran meditation on the sacrament of the altar in her communion hymns. From the beginning, when there's only a handful, you know, by this time, they're exploding. It becomes a big theme of Lutheran hymn writing, continues to this day, to write hymns for the Lord's Supper.
And why is that? I mean, this really kind of helps us kind of, even 21 parts into our historic liturgy study, to talk about how it is, yet again, that the historic liturgy is distinctly sacramental, sacrament-centered.
The joy of Christ being truly present to wipe out our sins, to put into us the pledge of our resurrection. I use these words a lot because I can't think of a better way to say it. He gives, here in this sacrament, he gives you forgiveness bigger than all your sin and life bigger than all your death. And the Lutheran Church, in meditating on this mystery over the years, has simply developed a body of hymnody that is characterized by both its warmth and its overflowing joy. I mean, it is a delight in this Lord who comes to us. In fact, look at the second stanza of this hymn. Look at the imagery it employs. Hasten, run as a bride to meet him eagerly and, oh, now I can be quoting the old words, and with loving reverence greet him. Loving reverence. Ooh. Isn't that a good that's a good phrase to describe the piety that acknowledges who he is, realizing, oh, he's coming to us, but never forgetting who the he is who's making that entrance. With words of life immortal, he's knocking on your portal. Revelation chapter 2, or 3, rather, you know, the Christ knocking on the door. People always try to picture that as being something to do with conversion. No. That's totally out of context, right? He's talking to the church. He's talking to his people there. Let me in. And so the people of God constantly fling open their lives to receive more and more of him. He's always knocking, and we're always welcoming him. He's knocking at your portal. Open wide the gates before him, saying, as you there adore him, grant, Lord, that I now receive you, and I never more will leave you. So, you know, telling you how to pray to him as he comes to you to give you all of the good gifts he died to win for you.
Now, you mentioned this before with regard to our gestures and our kind of physical position mm-hmm. in receiving the Lord's Supper, where you said, you know, the Anglicans are very careful to point out that there is no adoration going mm-hmm. on here. And you say, we Lutherans say, oh, yes, there is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's impossible to sing these hymns
and not see
without
it.
Engaging in the proper adoration of Christ's presence among us in his body and blood.
Yeah. I mean, number one, there is the luscious tune that is just, I mean, you be in any Lutheran congregation, pretty much you hear when this song comes up, you hear the harmonies start to pour out. And the tender love of the piece is just amazing. And you notice the gestures that are actually mentioned in the piece. Think about this. Jesus, I'm going to skip over to what listed in our hymnal, stanza 5. Jesus, source of lasting pleasure, truest friend, dearest treasure. Notice it now that the hymn had been talking to the soul. Now it flip-flops and it begins speaking to Jesus, and it speaks to him by just naming him over and over again, different ways. Truest friend, dearest treasure, Jesus, peace beyond all understanding, joy into all life expanding. In other words, a joy that never stops growing, reaching everywhere. Remember Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So here we say we are in the presence of Jesus. This is the fullness of joy, and it continues to expand in our lives. Humbly now I bow before you. Love incarnate, I adore you. Love incarnate, worthily let me receive you, and so favored, never leave you. Can you feel the tender warmth of this? I mean, it's so, people might think that's just getting a little icky, isn't it? I mean, it almost sounds like a love song to Jesus, but it is a love song.
It's the right kind of love song.
It's just, and it naming him over and over again by what he's done. I mean, let me give you verse 6 too, because of the way it names him. Jesus, Son of Life, my splendor. What the Son is to life, that Jesus is to us. Jesus, Friend of Friends, most tender. You know, the friend who lays down his life for us. Jesus, Joy of my desiring, Fount of Life, my soul inspiring. At your feet I fall, my Maker. Let me be a fit partaker of this blessed food from heaven, for our good, your glory given. So this holy food from heaven, which is Jesus' true body and blood, given us here, we fall down before him as we receive it. We give him praise and thanks. It's a beautiful hymn.
With only a minute here, you can't sing these hymns and get the impression that somehow it's my soul ascending to be with the distant heavenly mm-mm. Jesus.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all Jesus here on the ground
yeah.
with us. I mean, it's just so tangible in every single stanza of these distribution hymns. Your thoughts there?
Well, like Pieper said so beautifully, you know, the incarnation destroys Pelagianism. You know, there's no distance for you to go to get to him when he comes all the way down to you. And the sacrament is simply the continuation of the incarnation, the incarnate one who is truly among us and with us according to his certain word and promise.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, we're going to hear another hymn. It's going to be Wide Open Stands the Gates, and we'll talk about that distribution hymn, and we will get to the Amen and the Dismissal in part 21 of our series on the historical liturgy, Communion, its distribution, and its hymn. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
By grace I'm saved. grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues, Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
The distribution hymn, Wide Open Stand the Gates, and that's one of the more recent ones.
Although right, in our
not
book.
Really recent, but more recent to
for,
our
for a Lutheran, it's recent. Yeah. It's only a couple, what, a century and a half old?
There's some stuff in there that's some, I mean, we've talked about how, and we were talking during the break about how you can't not believe that it is Christ's body and blood present there on the altar and sing these hymns.
Right.
You can't honestly do it
right.
Because they confess it so clearly,
right,
and this one, this hymn really puts the point to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it nails it down. I it's so characteristic of you know, in the 19th century, from whence this hymn came, it was a big time of thinking about the nature of church, especially when you think about the line from For All the Saints. You know, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in Thee, for all are Thine. And so this idea of the heavenly church and the earthly church as one church was big. And Leia shows that here by the way he writes. But notice then the way he's describing it, wide opened stand the gates adorned with pearl. So, I mean, heaven is opened. I mean, that's his way of saying when we gather at the Eucharist, We are gathering at heaven's open gates. But look at what happens. Around God's golden throne, the choirs of angels and their endless circles curl, you know, giving the praise. They joyous praise the Son. But what are they watching him do? Look at what he says. They watch him now descending. You mentioned before, it's not an ascent, it's a descent. It's not us climbing up, it's him coming all the way down to where we are. They watch him now descending to visit waiting earth. The Lord of life unending brings dying hope, new birth. In other words, he's come to give hope. When all hope was dead and lost, he comes to give a hope that has no end. And how does he do it? How does he visit waiting earth? What does he do? I mean, Leah just goes on and lays it out there in the next stanza. He speaks the word. Think about that. It's not the pastor up there speaking. You can say, you know, if Todd Wilkins said over all the bread and wine in the world, this is my body, this is my blood, it wouldn't do much, right?
Nothing.
But when you are speaking in the stead and by the command of Jesus, it is Jesus who is speaking. And his word causes to be what he said, just like at the beginning, let there be and there was. So when Jesus says over the bread and over the wine, this is my body, this flesh, my flesh and blood. And so after he speaks what he says is so, he bids us eat and drink with thankfulness this gift of heavenly food. You note the theme of Thanksgiving that just runs through all these hymns. Not a law Thanksgiving telling people, be thankful, be thankful. No. I mean, just a joyous Thanksgiving from the Gospels. Wow, do you believe God gave us a gift like this? Unbelievable. Here is this gift of holy food. And he says, now all human thought has to falter. And, you know, you're not going to wrap your mind around how this bread could be Christ's body and how this wine could be Christ's blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You're never going to wrap your mind around how the body and blood of Christ is actually the body and blood of God for you. Right? So all human thought must falter because our God stoops low to heal. He's coming to you not to judge you. He's coming to you not to destroy you. He's coming to you to heal. And heal, remember, heal and salvation, they're the same word. His salvation is his final full healing of us. Now, present on the altar, kind of a nice little confession against the idea that the words of Jesus don't actually work until the bread and wine are in your mouth. Instead, we say, no, present on the altar, himself, both host and meal. That's a great, great line. He is himself the celebrant of the supper, the one who is hosting it, but he's also what he's dishing out. He's giving you nothing himself. Luther goes on, and I can't remember which document it is. He adds, you know, he's not only a host and meal, he's chief bottle washer. You know, he takes care of all things for us at this supper. Then he sort of steps away and looks back up to heaven. So the angels are watching all this happen, right? The cherubim, their faces veiled from light, while saints in wonder kneel. Remember we talked about the kneeling again? So they're the saints, the people of God, are kneeling down in adoration around the altar, and the cherubim, they're watching, and they sing praises to him, whose face with glory bright now no earthly masks conceal, that they see him face to face in a way that here we cannot. But they see it's the same one who is now present among us in the sacrament of the altar that we're kneeling before. This sacrament, which God gives us, binds us in unity, joins earth with heaven beyond us, unites time and eternity. Isn't that just a beautiful thought? In the sacrament, there is no time just ceases to matter. Space just ceases to matter. Where Jesus, there are his saints, there are his angels, there are all his people. Where Jesus, where the Lamb, there are all who celebrate his praises.
Now, let's talk, and I didn't want to finish our conversation, and it's a great way to finish it, indeed, is to talk about how the distribution ends. The first is just the word that you've mentioned before many times is given to the congregation to say,
the
and
amen.
Here it is.
Yeah,
let's talk about
amen.
It briefly.
And when the pastor gives, this is sort of new for us in our rite, in our LSB, it says very specifically now that the people answer amen when the pastor announces the gift to them, the body of Christ given for you. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. I think it's it's huge for us to be able to speak that. That is the affirmation that, hey, what you just said is so. It's true, and it's true for me. This is what Jesus is giving to me here. So I encourage all our hearers as they receive the Lord's body and blood to amen the words that the pastor gives you. People are thinking, well, a person next to me is going to look at me strange if I speak that amen out loud. I don't care, and they don't care either. They might be inspired to say, hey, that person really believes that about the supper. That's important. It's a word to encourage each other on.
And then the usually I would refer to it as the dismissal. We've got about a minute here. What would you say there?
Well, the dismissal is really, boy, it's not going to fit in a minute. I'll tell you that. We need to talk about its grammatical form, because I think it's an important point to notice. It's not a wish. It's a benediction. It's a statement upon the people, a statement of what is, not of what we
could
would
be.
Like to be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it is, although we might say, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith into life everlasting, perhaps what we should be saying is, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthens and preserves you in true faith.
If we follow exactly out of the book says, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and in soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. That's what the book says to say. We'll have to talk about that.
All right. Well, we'll just have to save something for next time. By the way, next time, what are we going to be talking about along with that?
Oh, is this? I mean, we're done everything.
We are
right now?
Done with everything.
Really?
Yes.
I was thinking there was another break and we could talk some more. Okay. Oops.
That's no problem. Okay. Get more parts. There's always more parts.
There's so much more to say. Gosh. Yeah. No. Next time we'll be talking about the post communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, and the prayer after communion. There are actually three of them in our current book. And each one of them is absolutely a beautiful prayer to come to know and understand. And the little versicle that goes before them, that too. So basically, post-communion stuff next time.
Pastor Will Wheadon is Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, thank you very much.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our series on the historic liturgy and you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, please consider supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through Thrivent Choice. It's a simple program that they have for their members that allow you as a member of Thrivent to designate your charitable dollars to Lutheran Public Radio and thereby support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. And when you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars for Lutheran Public Radio, it benefits this worldwide outreach. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate, and there you'll find the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. And from there, it's pretty self-explanatory. Remember to enter Lutheran Public Radio as a recipient of your Thrivent Choice dollars. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend a little time talking with Dr. Russell Moore about 40 years of Roe v. Wade and Time Magazine's concession that the pro-life movement is winning. Then Pastor David Kine joins us for a discussion of prayer, and Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be with us. We'll talk about an ad campaign that is aimed at redefining the term jihad. It usually means holy war. What is it supposed to mean now? We'll find out from Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. Well, it doesn't surprise me that we get to the end of an hour and we still have so much more to say about the Lord's Supper, because you can't say it all in an hour. And to take those words where we are assured that his body and blood strengthen and preserve us in true faith, in body and in soul into life everlasting, well, that's the whole comfort, isn't it? I'm Todd Wilkin. More of Issues Etc. right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.